Matthew 11:12. And this is what it says. Everybody read, go. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. The kingdom of heaven, everybody say kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Everybody say advancing. And forceful men lay hold of it. Now, I looked at the Passion Translation and it says this. And everybody will read, go. From the moment John stepped onto the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth and passionate people have taken hold of its power. The kingdom of heaven has been bursting forth. It has been advancing. And the ones who are making sure that the kingdom of heaven will advance are the passionate people who have taken hold of its power. I specifically looked for a translation that would support the NIV 1984 version because I like that version. I like the way that it renders that the kingdom of heaven is being forcefully advanced by passionate people. It is advancing. And for this morning's message, I want to talk about the kingdom that we are advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing, people. Despite all the negativities, despite all of the bad news that you get to read, I think, you know what, I would love to see news that will just highlight all of the good things that are happening in the world. I would love to see news that would talk about the revival that's breaking out in Iran. Have you heard there is a revival that is breaking out right now in Iran? It may not be in the mainstream news, but it's happening. Hundreds of thousands of Muslims are turning to Jesus in closed-door Iran. Millions of Christians are turning to Jesus in China. Communist China. It's happening. It's happening. And the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And I want to talk about this kingdom that we are advancing. I believe that I am in front of the right crowd. I'm in front of the right people because this would be the passionate people who will advance the kingdom of God. Tell the person next to you, we have an assignment. Amen. Alam niyo yung mga hindi gumagawa ng assignment, ninenerbios. Natatakot niya. The following day, when the teacher calls for finished or not finished, pass your papers. And you have not fulfilled your assignment, it's something that you don't get excited about. But if you know in your heart, God, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of fulfilling this assignment of advancing your kingdom. Then your heart starts to pump like, Lord, I'm excited about this. So what is this kingdom that we are advancing? So we're turning now to Matthew in chapter 13, in verse 1, down. Actually, we're going to look at many verses. And now we're going to look at four parables. Matindi tong sermon na ito ngayon. We're going to look at four parables because each parable would highlight a different facet of the kingdom of God. Let's start in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. Everybody say parables. Saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Everybody say, path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places. Everybody say, rocky. Rocky. All right. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns. Everybody say thorns. Which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. Everybody say good soil. Where it produced a crop 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Who has ears, hear today. So hear this. What is this parable about? It's about the kingdom of God. What about the kingdom of God? Number one, Jesus is basically telling us through this parable that the kingdom that he is establishing is a kingdom of abundance. It's a kingdom of abundance. Everybody say abundance. Now, understand this. I know there are four kinds of soil that you see here. What's the first one? The pathway soil. Everybody say pathway. The next one would be the rocky soil. The third one would be the thorny soil. The fourth one would be the good soil. Now, understand this. It is not in the plan of God for anybody to be pathway soil. It is not in the plan of God for anybody to be rocky soil. It is not in the plan of God for anybody to be thorny soil. The plan of God is that all of us will be good soil. Why? Jesus said it so clearly in John 10:10, I have come so that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. Everybody say full life. Some versions would say abundant life. In short, as far as the heart of God is concerned, he wants that every believer will be living in abundance. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because understand, when the sower went out and started sowing the seeds, he sowed the same seed. The same. And we cannot really blame God. Like say, God, you know what? I'm not being abundant here. I think you're being unfair. No, God placed the same seed in all of us. Now, it depends now on what we do with the seed. And what matters with what we do with the seed will actually determine if we're going to be abundant or not. It will determine if we're going to be fruitful or not. If you're going to look at the explanation of Jesus concerning the four types of soil, look at this. In verse, verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, everybody say kingdom, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Now, the reason it's called a pathway soil is because people have trodden on it. Lots of times, people walk on it, which causes that the soil will be hardened. And sometimes there are people who get their hearts hardened because they have been walked on. They've been hurt. The second type of soil, let's move on. Verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Verse 21, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, everybody say trouble, persecution. All right, so when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Who has gone through some troubles here in life? Troubles in life, troubles in life. That's for all of us. So we can actually have an excuse like, God, I've had troubles in my life, so I cannot be fruitful. But that's no excuse. All of us have had our own troubles. But God is not offering us, all right, you have an excuse. You may choose not to be fruitful. No. Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Everybody say wealth. Look at this. So the rocky soil, it has to do with the troubles of this world. Everybody say troubles. That's the rocky soil. But you talk about the thorny soil, it has to do with wealth. So it goes to show that whether it be for bad or for good or for bad, it can be something that can be an excuse for us. Oh God, I'm sorry. I cannot really be faithful to you because I'm so wealthy. Oh God, I'm sorry, I cannot really be faithful to you as far as my tithing is concerned because, God, this is too big an amount. The deceitfulness of wealth. Lord, I'm sorry, I cannot really commit to your work. I cannot really commit to your kingdom. I cannot advance your kingdom because I'm so busy with work. But then look at this, verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop. Everybody say, produces a crop. Oh, I love this. Yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the plan of God for every believer. God wants that all of us will bear much fruit. All of us. There's a couple who's attending our Firestarters class. And we have known this couple. I have known this couple for some time now. Because I would say 2 years ago, the husband came to the church to attend Firestarters, initially to attend the Firestarters class. And after the Firestarters class, he approached me and told me about his son who was suffering from a rare brain disease. And he asked for prayers. And he said, Pastor, please pray for my son because he is suffering from this rare brain disease and he's bedridden and we want to see him healed. And of course, we prayed together and he continued to attend the Firestarters class 2 years ago. He even brought his son to the healing conference that we had at the Cuneta Astrodome. They got an ambulance to bring the son to the healing conference, believing God for the healing of their son. For some time, I have not heard from this couple. I have not seen this couple anymore. I have not seen the son anymore. But when we started the Firestarters class 2 weeks ago, they were here. And so I was just so happy to see them. And I said, oh, buti po nandito na kayo. Welcome back. How are you? We're okay, Pastor. How's your son? Oh, Pastor, he died. October 2018, he told me. Oh, I didn't know. I said, condolence po. Thank you, Pastor. So, well, I'm just happy you're here, I said. We're happy we're here too. Because we want to learn more. So I brought my wife with me. So now there's the two of us. I'm taking a refresher. My wife is here. She's a new student. I said, it's good to know you're taking the Firestarters class. At the back of my mind, this was actually what I wanted to say. It's good to know you're taking the Firestarters class despite the fact that your son died. I'm happy to see you here that you still want to learn how to be a revivalist moving in signs and wonders, moving in healings and miracles. When, if you're going to look at their story, they actually have a seemingly legitimate excuse not to pursue revival anymore. God, why did you allow our son to die? God, we were here. We were trying to be equipped. God, we even brought our son to the healing conference and nothing happened. See, it can be the rocky soil. It can be the thorny soil. It can be the pathway soil that they could have chosen for themselves. God, we have an excuse. We're not going to live the abundant life anymore because you did not fulfill your end of the bargain. But no, they're here. And they're saying, because we want to learn some more so that God can use us for revival, so that we can move in healings and miracle signs and wonders and spread the kingdom of God all over. Hallelujah! I think that's very good. And that is what God wants for all of us. God does not want us to have a victim mentality. The pathway soil can have that victim mentality. The rocky soil can have that victim mentality. The thorny soil can have that victim mentality. You know what? I cannot be abundant anymore. I cannot live the abundant life anymore. Why? Because I'm pathway soil. People have trodden on me. I cannot live the abundant life anymore. Why? Because I'm rocky soil. See, there have been troubles in my life. I cannot live the abundant life anymore. Why? I'm thorny soil. I've been deceived by wealth. No, we have a choice. Tell the person next to you, you have a choice. Abundance is a choice. And God is telling all of us, you can choose to be good soil. We choose to be good soil. Lord, whatever has transpired in our lives, we choose to be good soil. We choose to live the kingdom of abundance. In the kingdom of abundance. Amen? Because that's the promise of Jesus. The promise of Jesus is, I have come so that you might have life, and life in its fullest. Let me read to you John 10:10 from the Passion Translation. This is what Jesus said. But I have come to give you everything in abundance. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Who wants to overflow? And that's the plan of God for us. We need to contend for it. God, I want to live in overflow. I want to live in overflow. Which reminds me again of that statement from Seth Fawcett, which I really love. Who remembers Seth Fawcett? Kagabi lang pinapanood ko yung video niya. You know, there are occasions wherein I just want some refilling, some refreshing. I watch this guy. I mean, he just gives me the laughs. Like, I love watching him. While I was watching him minister, the first time I saw him in Bacolod, and he will just lay hands on people and people would fall under the power of God. After laying hands on so many people, he would call on everyone, come back, like, get some more. So he lays hands on them again, they fall under the power, and after that they stand up and he says, come back, get some more. So I approached him after the session was over. I told him, you know what? I really love the way you impart. Like, it seems unlimited. Don't you get tired? I mean, don't you dry up? Because you just keep on imparting. And this was what he said. I'll never dry up. Because people can only drink from my sosa. Now, he's Kiwi. And I did not understand sosa. I know liquid sosa. So when he said, I can never dry up because people can only drink from my sosa. I said, huh? From your sosa? Yeah, because you know, my cup overflows. And when the cup overflows, it goes down to the sosa. Ah, sosa. My cup overflows. And that's the plan of God for all of us. Our cup overflows. Our lives overflow with so much of God to the extent that we overflow. And it's in our overflow that people can actually benefit from our abundance. Amen? Everybody say, kingdom of abundance. I live an abundant life. Para hindi convincing yon. I live an abundant life. Kung hindi pa nangyayari, yung I live na yon, lagyan lang I apostrophe LL. I will live an abundant life. All of us, that's the plan of God. Number two, let's move on. The second parable, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. We're talking about the kingdom that we're advancing, alright? Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, again, everybody say kingdom of heaven, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Who has seen wheat? Who has seen wheat? The two of you should have seen wheat. Anybody here from the Philippines? We don't have wheat here. Anybody here seen palay? Okay. At least we can relate. All right, the palay rice, the rice, you know how it grows. Who has seen dayami? Up to now, do we still have dayami? Because all I see are buildings. All right, dayami. You see the semblance, the resemblance of the two, the palay and the dayami. The only difference is when the palay matures, it starts to bend. You will actually see the maturity of a believer when the believer knows how to bend, how to humble himself. That shows maturity. So having said that, let's continue on. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Verse 27. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed?" Everybody say, good seed. "Didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now, what can we learn about the kingdom here that we are advancing? What's the first? It's a kingdom of abundance. So everybody, every child of God, every son and daughter of God, the plan of the Lord is for us to live in abundance. Secondly, it's a kingdom of goodness. What God planted in all of us is good seed. And that good seed is growing. The goodness in all of us is growing. But there's something that may be a puzzle for many believers here. When the angel said, "Let's harvest them now, let's harvest them now," the master said, "No, we cannot do that, because when you pull up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. So what do we do? Let both grow together." Have you noticed that we are still here in this planet? Who has noticed that? Well, there are many believers who are crying out to God and pleading with God, "Oh God, let the rapture take place now. Andiyan na si Momo." While everybody's afraid of all the darkness and all the bad news, the blue whale app. Oh, by the way, parents, if you saw my posting on Facebook, who saw my posting on Facebook about the Momo challenge? You know what? You should be overseeing what your kids are up to, particularly those young ones. See what they are up to. Just ask them how they're doing. And if you can be even more direct about asking them if they know about this Momo, and if this Momo has given them some threat of death, some threat of killing you, your family, you should. Now, in this parable, what Jesus is saying is this: the plan of God really is for us to stay here. Did you notice? Hey, don't be asking the Lord to get us out of this world anytime soon and leave this world behind. I mean, I've seen so many footages or movies or clips of what's going to happen. Like, suddenly, all the people driving along EDSA, many of them won't have drivers anymore, so it causes a great damage along that road because there's no more driver. What happened? Rapture took place. And God is the source of the damage. If you will look at this, verse 30, all right? Can we show them verse 30? Oh, this is so good. Everybody read, go. "Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters first." Wait. First, what? Collect the? Oh, who's going to be collected first? Oh, not the wheat. If you're going to look at the way the rapture is presented, the ones who will be collected first will be the believers. Huh? Are you getting what I'm saying here? But it says here that the ones who will be collected first will be the weeds. Not the wheat. We are the wheat, by the way, in case you're missing it. We are the wheat, okay? They sound alike, Pastor. Wheat. Wheat. Weed. Pagka sinabi ko weed, hindi ito yung damo, ha? Ay, hindi ito yung dating hinihitit ni Emmat. Hindi. Weed is bad. Wheat is good. We are the wheat. If we're going to follow the rapture theory, the wheat goes first. Because here are all the believers and they're crying out, God, this is such a dark planet. And everything is coming to ruins. Lord, Antichrist is about to come. Get us out of here. And so what does God do? He collects the wheat first so that they won't have any more troubles in this planet. Is that how it goes? No, it says here, first collect the weeds. So the first to go are the weeds, not us. Why? Because the wheat, they're going to stay here and make sure that the kingdom of heaven will advance in this planet. We're here for good, guys. We're establishing the kingdom of God in this planet. And that is what the kingdom is all about. When Jesus said, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Everybody say, repent. Tell the person next to you, repent. May ganyan pa. Repent. Okay? No. Seriously, it's not like repent, you're a sinner. Repent, have a change of mindset. Because many Christians have embraced that mindset wherein we are actually on a retreat here. We are retreating because darkness is taking over this planet. That's not how it goes. The church is not on a retreat. Well, sometimes we have our retreats. But that's a different retreat. All right? But the church is not on a retreat. Why so? Because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Everybody seen any gate here? Who has seen gates? Who has seen a gate? Sino nakakita na ng gate? Tinagalog ko na. Nakakita na ba kayo ng gate na lumulusob? Have you seen any gate that is on the offensive? Hey, last night, the gate was here. When I woke up, it's here na. It doesn't go that way. And if you're going to just think about it, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I used to think that Hades or hell, the gates of hell, I used to think that hell is actually on the offensive. And then I got to think of it, wait, what Jesus said was, upon this rock he will build his church, and then the gates of hell will not overcome it. Gates stay right where they are. So who's moving? It's the church. And moving where? Not on the defensive. We're on the offensive. We are making sure that the kingdom of heaven is advancing. How? By spreading the goodness of God. It's the kingdom of goodness. That's how we advance the kingdom of God. By spreading His goodness. We just be good to people. And the goodness that we carry is not our goodness, it's the goodness of God in us. I have good news. One mayor from one major city of the Philippines actually set up an appointment with me. Somebody texted me first, Pastor, is it possible that you pray over the mayor of Tacloban City? I said, of course, sure. I was thinking that the mayor of Tacloban is the mayor of Tacloban, Mayor Romualdez. The guy, I thought, It's not the guy. It's the wife. Kring kring. Mayor Cristina Gonzalez Romualdez. And naalala ko tuloy ng mga kabataan namin. And so I said, of course, I can pray for her. Why not? And so the date was set, and the good mayor came here. She was here in the church, and Ate Lolit and I, we got to pray for her. After praying for her, she invited us for lunch. You know what she said? She, because eventually she found out that we move in the ministry of deliverance, and she found out that we move in the ministry of healing, and she found out that we get to push for healing conferences so that the churches, the body of Christ, will be equipped to move in the ministry of healing. And she said, Pastor, would it be possible, while I am still the mayor, that you do a healing conference and I will require the churches in Tacloban City to come together, all of the pastors to come together, so that they will be equipped to do healing in Leyte. I said, I'll think about it. I said, sure, why not? And that is what it means for the good seed to grow. See, God is not about to take us out of this planet, all right? I'm sorry. If you still have that mindset that you want to escape from this planet, no way. You have to change this parable to a different outcome before that happens. But while God is God and His word remains true, and it will always be true, we will be staying here, and God's plan is for us to spread the goodness of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen? It will be the answer to the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We will be the agents of God's goodness to spread the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen? Tell the person next to you, you're good. You will spread His goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's move on. Number three. Third parable. Who's learning something here? All right. Number three. Verse 31. He told them another parable. Alam niyo si Jesus, ginanahang mag-sermon ng araw na to eh. Sunod-sunod yung sermon niya eh. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Third, about the kingdom of heaven that we are advancing. What's number one? It's the kingdom of abundance. Number two is the kingdom of goodness. Number three, verse 31, 32, it's the kingdom of growth. The kingdom of heaven continues to grow. It continues to grow. It starts small like a mustard seed. Starts small. Who has seen a mustard seed here? Who eats mustard leaves? Of course. Hey, not mustard sa hot dog. Mustard leaves. Dahon ng mustasa. Who eats that? Oh, really good. Really good. Especially when you dip it in burro. Huh? You know that? The pink burro. Who knows the pink burro? Oh my goodness. Oh wow. Taganway ba siha ba kayo? The pink burro people, I love that. We have people from Gapan. We would like to acknowledge them, people from Gapan. They hosted a healing conference in Nueva Ecija. It was really great. God moved so wonderfully there. I don't think that that's the mustard that Jesus was referring to, by the way. Kasi yung mga mustard na yan, maliliit na ganun. They're like leaves. I think the mustard in Israel, you know, it gets to grow big to such an extent that it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree wala yatang puno ng mustasa rito. But I think what Jesus was doing here is he is taking from ordinary objects that his listeners can relate to. And as far as the listeners of Jesus were concerned, the smallest seed that they know of would be the seed of a mustard. And then when it grows into a tree. I think if Jesus was here in the Philippines and he's going to make an object lesson about the kingdom of God being a kingdom of growth, he's not going to take the mustard seed as his example. I think what he will do is he will take the seed of aratilis. You know aratilis. Who knows aratilis? The best fruit in the world. Who eats aratilis? Birds. For the young ones, do you know aratilis? You don't know aratilis. You know, they grow anywhere. Anywhere birds poop. Have you seen the aratilis seeds, how tiny they are? Have you seen the aratilis trees, how big they can grow up to be? Like, they're huge. I'm telling you, if Jesus only grew up in the Philippines, he would have used aratilis. He would have said, the kingdom of heaven is like aratilis seed. I mean, they're tiny, tiny little seeds. I only see them, now, well, of course, number one, when I get to eat aratilis, like, that's how you eat them. And of course, aside from having to pick them from the trees, you also get to see them on your windshield as bird poop. So tiny. And yet you look at these huge trees. I mean, wide spreading trees. They're so big. And what is Jesus telling us here? Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven, yes, it may start small, but it will definitely get bigger and bigger and bigger. The kingdom of heaven is not going to get smaller. It will just get bigger. Many countries who are opposed to the gospel have tried their hardest to just put a stop to the gospel. They have tried their hardest to persecute, even kill the messengers of the gospel. But you know what? They cannot stop it. Why? It's a kingdom of growth. It will just grow. The communist governments tried to put a stop to it. It did not. It just caused multiplication in the church. Those who are in persecuted countries who are of a different faith would say, no, we're not allowing Christianity here. It just continues to grow. Why? It's a kingdom of growth. It cannot be stopped. And basically what Jesus is telling us is this. He has planted a seed in us that though the enemy may attempt to put a stop to it, it will never stop because it will just keep on growing. Tell the person next to you, it will just keep on growing. If you know the history of Church So Blessed, when we started as a church, back in June of 1999, we started in that one room in Timog Avenue, in room 206. Minsan, room 206 of Cabrera Building 2. You may want to view that. It will be part of the National Heritage. You may want to pay it a visit. Room 206, it's a 100 square meter room where about 30 believers gathered for the first time on the first Sunday of June 1999. And then come the first Sunday of June 2019, we will be turning 20 years old. Hallelujah! June 2, 2019, we won't be here. Please don't come to church here. Don't come to church here. The emphasis is on the word here. I did not say don't come to church. I said don't come to church here. We will all be at the Cuneta Astrodome for our 20th anniversary. I'm hoping to see all of our churches come together, at least the churches in Luzon. If all of the churches in Luzon will be coming together, I think we can pack the whole place. How much more if we get the churches from Visayas and Mindanao and some of our international churches to come? We have more than 100 churches now. That's after 20 years of God's goodness. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of growth. Amen? And it's the plan of God. God just wants to see that there will always be multiplication. Habakkuk 2:14, if you can show them that. Habakkuk 2:14. Pa-closing prayer na ako eh. Thank you. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It will be filled, people. It will be filled. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It will happen. And I don't think that this verse is a verse that belongs to 100 years from now, 200 years from now. You know what? We can actually have faith in God. Lord, we are going to be a part of this. We are going to see the kingdom of heaven advance. Number four, let's move on. Finally, verse 33. What's the kingdom of heaven? Number one, it's a kingdom of? Abundance. Number two, goodness. Number three, growth. Number four, verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Who eats pizza here? Who eats thin crust pizza here? Who eats thick crust pizza here? Who prefers thick crust pizza over thin crust? Pastor, mas masarap po yung thin crust eh. Let's divide the house. All right. See, I'm going to make a point here. Thin crust may be good, but it's not so filling. Tapos na usapan. I love thin crust, of course. But then again, you have finished the whole thing, you're still hungry. That's the magic of yeast. Number four lesson about the kingdom is this. It's a kingdom of influence. The yeast, when you add it to the flour, as little as the amount of yeast that you may have added, when you add it to the flour, it just puts that whole dough to that size wherein it gets puffed up in the good sense. Like it gets thicker. And that is precisely why God would want us to be yeast, so that wherever God has placed us, you will cause that there will be a good influence as far as quality and volume are concerned. God placed you in that office. God placed you in that school. God placed you in that company. God placed you in that neighborhood because you are the yeast. Don't waste your position. Don't waste that spot. God, why am I here? Because God wants you to be a person of influence right there where you are. One of the things that I find to be so interesting in the Bible is the story of Daniel. Daniel in chapter 2, if we can look at this. Alright? Now here, the story goes, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. The story goes that Nebuchadnezzar, he had this strange dream that he wanted to be interpreted. Verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. Now, we all know that Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king. So the king summoned the what? Magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, Momo. I mean, these guys are demonic. In case you haven't noticed, and just in case you're thinking that this is an endorsement of such practices, no. These guys are into demonic things. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. Oh, by the way, side note, some of you may be wondering, so Pastor, is magic evil? All right, let me just qualify this. Read my book, Hula, Multo, Faith Healing, at iba pa. All right? It's there. Pastor, sagutin mo na lang. Read my book. Well, the short answer would be, there's magic, like sleight of hand tricks, mabilis lang yung kamay, no problem with that. We can actually use that to advance the kingdom of God, like get kids, get people to be attracted by the tricks and then get to divert that into a message about Jesus. No problem with that. But there is another thing called magic. And the way to differentiate the two, some would put a K instead of a C right there. And that's dark magic or black magic, wherein they really have to conjure up demonic spirits to cause the trick to push through. All right? So, magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream. This is not from Martin Luther King. This is different. I have had a dream. I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your house is turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Well, cut the long story short, nobody could interpret the dream of the king. And so the king decided, all right, you're all tricking me. You're good for nothing. I'm going to have all of you be chopped into pieces. Dead bol kayong lahat. Verse 12. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. Who would be the wise men? The astrologers, the sorcerers, the enchanters, all of these guys. When Arioch, verse 14, the commander of the king's guard had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Why Daniel? Because he's part of the wise men. Daniel was part of the wise men. You mean to say, Pastor, he was in that company? He was in that company. O-M. Really? He was in that company. Now, this leads me to say, because there are some preachers who would tell you, and there are some people, even believers, who would tell you, you know what? The moment you get born again, you should burn all bridges that connect you to your past. Burn all bridges that connect you to your high school batchmates, your college friends, your old neighborhood friends. Burn all bridges because you know what? They will actually cause you to backslide. They will be BI. You know BI? Bureau of Immigration. That's bad influence. Burn all bridges. Burn all bridges. Tell that to Daniel. He's not about to burn bridges. He is building bridges. Because he wants to influence. Guess what? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I would love to have fellowship with people who don't know Jesus. They're in the dark, people. They're in the dark. Many of them may not even know that what they're doing is actually for the devil. Some of them think that they're doing things for God. Because they're in the dark. And unless you tell them, they won't know. Some people, they have anting, you know, anting. Some people have that, not because they're into the demonic, not because they want demons to come into their lives. They're using those because they just want to be protected. So what do you do? Oh my, that's demonic. Get away from me. No. Be friends with that person. Talk sense to that person. And then offer to pray for that person. Then that person gets delivered. That's the only way that we can actually cause light to overcome darkness. If light will go to the place of darkness. Now, there's something here that has to be said. Yes, we may go to those places of darkness, but don't let darkness influence you. That's different. That's very different. One mother came up to me one time, and she asked me, Pastor Hiram, can I ask you a question? I said, of course, so long as it's not about math. See, the reason I became a pastor is because probably I'm not good with numbers. The only numbers that I can handle is chapter and verse. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So I said, what's the question? Well, see, I am born again, she says. And I have two sons, they're both born again. We attend this church, and she mentioned the name of the church. And so is our pastor. And I know the pastor, I know the church. Our pastor said that for us to be able to win the world to Jesus, that we must go to the world. Okay. So, well, what our pastor did was, he told my two boys, if we are going to win the people who are in the bar, we need to go to the bar. Yung pong bar, hindi yung mga sa lawyer. Okay? It's like bar. Pubs or anong tawag doon, bro? Nightclub. I don't know nightclub kasi. Sorry, ah. Well, you know, go to the bar. So the pastor said, if you're to win the people in the bar, we need to go to the bar. And for the people of the world to believe us, we need to really go down to their level, do what they're doing, and that way we will have an audience with them. They will give their ear to us. They will listen to us. I was just listening, and she continues on with the story. So, what our pastor recommended for my two sons is that when they share the gospel to those people in the bar, if they're drinking beer, you drink beer too. Okay. Now, Pastor, my question is this. In our home, my two sons, they have never drank beer. Never. But nowadays, they go back to our house, they come home, and they ask me for beer. Pastor, I am born again. I don't need to be evangelized. Why are they looking for beer in our home? I thought that the reason they're drinking beer is so that they can reach out to the people of the world. Now, what they're doing is they're asking for a beer, even in our home where everybody's born again. Who are they reaching out to now? I said, I think you know the answer to your question. The answer to your question is this. The problem is when the church attempts to win the world by using worldliness. And that's not the way it goes. We are called to influence the world and not the other way around. The yeast, when it is added to the flour, it influences the flour. It's not the flour influencing the yeast. Amen? We're called to be different. We're called to shine the light of Jesus. And you know what? When people see the light in us, they will just marvel. There's something different about you. There's something different about us, which gives me so much hope. If only believers will really do what we are called to do, we are called to advance the kingdom of heaven wherever God has placed us. Amen. Hallelujah. Sino rito born again? Taas kamay? We have an assignment. Tell the person next to you, you have an assignment. Let's all stand up. You know, I'm reminded of reunions. Who among you here, you attend high school reunions? That's good. College reunions. Well, you know, Pastor, they're so worldly, I don't want to be with them. Those would be the occasions that you don't want to miss out on. There was a time when, as far as my batchmates in high school were concerned, what they know of Hiram is that I was the one who would lead them to cut classes. Tara, cutting na lang tayo. I would be the one to tell them, come on, let's jump over the bakod. You know, over the bakod? Oh, over the bakod. We do that. We escape from school. We cut classes and we go to this place that's right beside the school where we get drunk in the morning. You know that verse of Peter telling the detractors, these men are not drunk as you suppose, it's only 9 in the morning. It's true for us. We're drunk, it's just 8 in the morning. Because the idea is, you know what, if you're drunk early in the morning and then you go to class, whoa, astig! I mean, that was the thing that we wanted to introduce to the culture of the school, that if you attend class and you're drunk, whoa, there's something great in you. And that was how my classmates remembered me. And then I got born again. It's the same story actually, high school, college, the first year of my college. It was the same story. I got born again during my first year in college. And then my batchmates, they never saw me again. Never saw me again until one day I was in a gym. Bro, I was in the gym before. I was in the gym before. And I was pumping iron. You know? That's my father. Came this guy. He was walking in front of me while I was doing the machines. Like, I think I was doing chest press. And then he was there. He looked at me. He turns to me and he says, pare! Tingin ako sa kanya. I looked at him. Pare! Said, Hiram! Oh, yes, yes. Pare, Jojo! Jojo. Vet med! Oh, Joe! Yeah, of course! How are you now? Pare, we just graduated. Took the board. I took the board sa kanya. So, I'm a vet now. Oh, wow! Doc, huh? Doc. And so, I started to recall some of the names of our classmates. So, how's so-and-so? Oh, he's a doctor too. He passed the board. Oh, okay. How about so-and-so? Oh, he's a doctor too. Oh, how about so? Oh, she's a doctor now. Oh, so good. How about you, Hiram? You just disappeared. What happened to you? What are you now? Pastor. What are you now? Pastor. I can't understand you. What are you now? What happened to you? Pastor. I'm a pastor now. You know what? He could have said, oh wow, God bless you. But he did not. He said, ikaw? You? Toot, toot! Malutong, crunchy. I mean, he was saying, of all people, you, you're pulling my leg. You're kidding me. This is a joke. I said, no. I'm a pastor now. Like, I'm a pastor now. But see, I can claim to be a pastor. But what he does remember about me was that we were doing jutes inside the classroom. We were doing pot smoking inside the classroom. And the whole block was just so afraid that I was doing it along with my friend from Cavite. My Cavitenya friend. That's what they remember. They were practically begging me, begging my friend, hey, please stop it. Because if any authority finds out about this, the whole block will be in trouble. That's what they remember. And so here I was, and I was telling him, I'm a pastor. Toot, toot. No way. From that point on, it has been my prayer, God, please, I ask you, give me a good story. Give me a good story. I don't want this to be the way my story with my blockmates, with my batchmates. And I don't want to be the ending. And so I've been praying to God, Lord, make me a person of good influence to them. And then came Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook. And everybody got reunited with everybody else. And everybody starts finding someone. Let's have a reunion. I said, God, this is an answer to my prayer. And when they asked for a reunion, come, let's have that reunion. I was there. I know there's still the excess baggage. Oh, kasama namin si Hiram. I was just there. I was conversing with them, kwentuhan, storytelling, old stories. They were talking about some of the things that we were supposed to have done. I said, really, that happened? Yes. Oh, I don't remember that. I don't think I was there. Oh, you were there. You were there, but you were stoned. Hindi po yung pinagbababato. Bato ako. You were there. You were drunk. I said, God, that's not the story I wanted. Finally, one of our friends, one of our blockmates, he told us, hey, you know what? I didn't tell you this, but I'm deaf on the left ear. Oh, what happened? I was doing deep sea diving. Pressure was too much. My ear popped. And then I had to go for a surgery. The surgeon was able to repair it. But then one time I was on board the plane, too much pressure, my ear popped again. This time around, the doctor said it cannot be operated on anymore. So I cannot hear on this without a hearing aid. And that sounded like music to my ears. I said, you're deaf? Yeah. Pare, bingi ako rito. Bingi ka dyan? Bingi ako rito. I'm deaf here. I said, God, this is it. I said, can I pray for you? And the whole block goes, yeah, I can pray for you if it's okay with you. And he tried to be respectful. He tried to be cordial. He says, oh, okay, sure. He was across the table, right in front of me. I said, in Jesus' name, I command right now all things new for this ear. I said, close the good ear. Can you hear me? Pare, I hear you. Can you hear me? Pare, I hear you. Can you hear me? Pare, I hear you. Sabi ko, that's Jesus because he loves you. I love that story. I love that story. And so now the whole block does not remember me for doing, well, probably they still do. But now they remember me also, that Jesus was the one who transformed me, called me to be a pastor. And then one of our blockmates, she says, hey, you know what? I used to play the piano, but now I cannot play the piano because my hands, they became stiff. I have arthritis. Can Jesus do that to my hands as well? I said, of course. Of course. Let's pray. And laid hands on both her hands and said, in the name of Jesus, arthritis be gone. Removed my hand. I said, check it out. She starts doing this. Oh, there's no more pain. That's Jesus. That's Jesus, because He loves you. God has placed each one of us in our own spheres to be the influence of the kingdom of heaven right where you are. I want you to pray that same prayer today and every day. God, would you open a door where I can be of influence to someone so that the kingdom of heaven may advance. Amen.